Hello, this is Kendra Brodeen of WomenLawyersOnline.com, and today I'm so excited to bring you a conversation with Wendy Behan. Wendy is an attorney with the law firm of Casey Gary, and she's been there since 1999. At Casey Gary, Wendy practices in the areas of personal injury and pharmaceutical products liability. She's currently involved in the Hydroxycut multi-district litigation in San Diego, as well as Yaz and Zycom product cases, and has been involved in the litigation against the manufacturers of Resilin, Propulsid, Baycol, and Metabolife. She was also an integral member of the litigation team in the lawsuits filed on behalf of American prisoners of war who were brutally abused and exploited as slave laborers by Japanese companies during World War II. In addition to her busy legal practice, Wendy is involved in many community and professional organizations. In fact, she recently joined the ranks of local luminaries such as Bonnie Demanis, Lynn Shank, and Marilyn Huff to be elected president of Lawyers Club San Diego, which since 1972 has sought to advance the status of women in law and society. Wendy will be officially induced as president at the Lawyers Club annual dinner on May 26th. Wendy is 37 years old, and she will serve as president for 1 year, for the year of 2010-2011, and she will spearhead the board of directors for the organization. It's a voluntary bar association comprised of male and female attorneys, judges, law students, and others in the San Diego community. In addition, she serves as a mentor to law students and new attorneys through Lawyers Club and Cal Western mentor programs, serving on the planning committee for the Couture for a Cause for the Association of Legal Administrators in 2009, and also serving and having served as a member of the Lawyers Club Membership Development Committee and then co-chair prior to joining the board of directors. Wendy graduated from California Western School of Law cum laude and earned her honors, including Dean's List, the Wiley W. Manuel Pro Bono Services Award, and an American Jurisprudence Award. Prior to joining the law firm of Casey Gary, Wendy performed internships at the United States Attorney's Office, the Office of Corporate Counsel in Washington, D.C., the San Diego Public Defender, in the Juvenile Delinquency Division, and the United States Trustee's Office. She also clerked for San Diego Superior Court Judge Susan D. Huguener in the Juvenile Court. In her spare time, if there is any, she sounds very busy, Wendy enjoys spending time with her husband, Sean, and their two sons, Connor, who is 9, and Colin, who is 5. She's an active volunteer with her children's school and sports teams as well. Wendy is also a supporter of breast cancer charities, and in 2007, she completed the Susan G. Komen 3-day walk for a cure, the 3-day for a cure, which is a 60-mile walk with her mother, who is a breast cancer survivor. So, Wendy, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me, Kendra.
Oh, it's delightful to have you. Wendy, I would love to learn more about everything we talked about there in the bio, but to do that, I'd like to jump into the interview questions, and I'm hoping that more information about the very interesting practice of law you've had during your career, I hope some of that information will come out while we're talking. So if that's all right, I'd love to just jump right into the questions.
Sure.
Great. Wendy, let's start by looking back, sort of back at your life in terms of your work versus your life, or maybe your education versus your life. When you think about bringing together your personal life and your professional life, do you feel like it's something you've always been really good at, or do you feel like it's something that you had to work at, or maybe even something happened in your life that gave you pause and caused you to think, I need to really do something differently in order to align who I am personally and professionally and do a better job balancing?
I think it's something that is constantly evolving. There are times in my children's life where they need a lot more of attention than they do right now when they're entering kindergarten and going into the fourth grade. But there's also times in your career that take more attention. So it's something that's constantly evolving and changing. But it's always been a focus of mine to prioritize my family. And I've worked in a firm that makes that very possible.
Excellent. So it sounds like it's something that, even though it has changed and how it looks has changed over the years and at different periods in your life, it's something that you've always been able to do, is take a look at your priorities and figure out how to make those priorities work within the context of what you're doing professionally.
Exactly.
So with that in mind, and you know, maybe it goes back to when things have evolved or when you have felt like things needed to change a little bit, what would you say, Wendy, has been your biggest challenge or your biggest struggle in coming to a place of balance or in creating the balance between your work and your life? Is there something that you feel has been your biggest challenge or struggle?
I think the biggest challenge and struggle is not shortchanging either work or clients or your family. And it's sometimes hard not to feel like you're shortchanging both. But I have a very supportive family around us, so extended family, so that it makes it very easy to, you know, if grandma and grandpa need to pick up the boys from school, that's always a possibility, or take them to a doctor's appointment if I can't make that. And also my husband is not an attorney, which makes it, I think, a little easier, so he has some flexibility in his schedule, too, to balance that out. But things change, you know, as the kids get older, and actually some things get harder to balance once they get older, and they're joining sports teams, and, you know, their practices are at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a weekday. Mm-hmm. It makes it really hard to do that, but my husband's changed his work schedule so that he gets off of work at 3:30. He can do those things and coach the teams, and then I can do the behind-the-scenes things and be a team mom and order the banner and things like that. So it's just something that we've made work for us, and I think we're at a place that it does work, but then there's always something that comes up, and you have to work late one day, and everyone has to adjust their schedule. But I think the family's pretty adaptable to that.
And I'm sure with some of the cases that you're working on, such as what we listed earlier in your bio, those are pretty intense cases that I'm sure there are sort of peaks and valleys of activity where maybe you need to put in a bit more intensity and a bit more time at certain periods, and then maybe there's other times where it's not quite as intense.
That's very true, and it's sometimes hard to predict. For example, I was going to a settlement conference in one of the pharmaceutical cases in another county. I thought I would be back in a few hours, and I was lucky to be back by bedtime.
Uh-huh.
But it's something you can't necessarily predict, but because I have the family support structure, when things like that do happen from time to time, we're able to work with that. But also, some of the product liability cases involve traveling, because the multi-district litigation might be based out of New York, Illinois, Ohio, or some other places. But we, at our firm, find that family really is a priority, so we're trying to limit our practice so that we don't have to do all that travel. Mm-hmm. And, for example, the Hydroxycut multi-district litigation is based out of San Diego. So that's very convenient for us. And so that was a good fit for us to get involved in those cases because it didn't involve all of the travel.
So you're saying the firm itself is amenable or supportive of having the balance between family and the law practice?
Very much so. It's we have a fairly small firm, or mid-sized firm. We have about 13 attorneys, and the pharmaceutical team is a partner, Gail Blatt and I, and she has two kids as well, a little older than mine, and family is a priority for everyone at the firm. So we try not to take cases where there's too much travel involved. It's impossible to have none at all, but just
right.
To limit it is helpful.
Well, and I think it makes such a huge difference when the firm itself is supportive and you're not asking for things that nobody's asked for before or that nobody's received before, but when the firm really thrives on supporting its members, its partners in doing that sort of juggling between the work and the life, the personal and the professional, it just seems to make it so much easier that they understand and they get it and they want to support you.
I think so, and it may be because our firm is a plaintiff's injury firm, so we do contingency fee. So I don't have to do billable hours. So it's really about results and getting the work done. It's not about how many hours did you put in. So that makes it easier to balance, I think, and I'm not sure how I would do it if I had some crazy quota of billable hours.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's a nice way to think about practicing law when you just focus on the results and the billables. Yeah, it's not. Certainly, we understand why law firms have to be profitable and all
right.
of that. That's important. But when it can be results-driven as maybe an alternative model, that as long as the client is getting what they need and they're paying for it and everything is fairly compensated, that that's also an interesting and sometimes more family-friendly way or lifestyle-friendly way to go about the billing.
It certainly is for me, and through Lawyers Club, I've met a lot of young women, and some of which have been frustrated with the practice of law because it's hard for certain people to balance family and work, and some people want to leave the field entirely because it's just not working for them. However, I hope to open the eyes and of some of these young women and see there's different models of practice.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do a work-life balance, and maybe it's not possible in a bigger firm where you have too high of billable requirements, but there's other options out there.
I think that's the interesting thing as women move through our own careers and our own professions as attorneys. And sometimes we think maybe in law school and we're going through, say, second year and all the interviews in the big firms and thinking about all of that. And we think sometimes that that's the only way to go. And yet when you start to get out there and realize that there's all sorts of options, be it small firms or mid-sized firms, or I've talked to a lot of women who just moved out entirely on their own and do their mm-hmm. own practice so that they can create their own hours. There's all, or maybe folks want to work for something, you know, more of a government type position or an in-house counsel where the hours are more predictable. There's all sorts of options. Sometimes it takes a little bit of a trust or a ability to take a risk and move out of something that seems like what you should be doing, maybe big firm that, you know, has the billables and everything, to take that risk and step out and do something different can be uncomfortable in the short term, but in the long term could really serve your lifestyle.
That's exactly right, and it's hard to step out of your comfort zone, and if all you know is the large firm model, it's hard to even open your eyes to the other possibilities. Through Lawyers Club of San Diego, we like to pair up people in all different practices, whether that's through the mentor-mentee program or just going to one of our lunches and you're sitting next to someone who's completely different practice from yourself, who you would have never met had it not been through Lawyers Club.
Exactly, and you can learn so much and see what they're doing, and things look so different from different people's perspective. We're all practicing law, but it looks so different depending
right.
on the area or the kind of firm or the kind of work. It's so diverse.
Right, and I come from a relatively small firm, and so before I joined Lawyers Club, and I was already a mother of two before I joined, I hadn't socialized with other attorneys who were also moms, and so I've really had my eyes opened a lot as to how other women make it work, balancing work and family and different flexible work arrangements that they've set up or daycare arrangements that they've set up. And so I've learned a lot from those women, and I maybe they've learned something from me as well, but we like to share our experiences, and that's really, really helpful.
When we can come together and support one another and share those resources or share those ideas or just sit around that cup of coffee or lunch or whatever it is and say, hey, I tried this and it worked, or I tried this and it didn't work, don't do that. You know?
Right,
I think
right.
We can learn so much from one another because there is that wealth of information out there if we're willing to seek it out, or like you've done, join organizations of like-minded folks who can mm-hmm. give you some of that information. And like you said, of course, you're willing to share as well. It's a beautiful cycle of giving and receiving that kind of support, but we don't have to live in silos and pretend like we can't ask the question or that we have to do it all on our own. There's lots of resources, and that's what I'm trying to create as well with Women Lawyers Online. It's just a place where women can come together and talk about the practice of law, or talk about their families, and figure it out in a better way. So by you being on this call, you're sharing that kind of information, and I'm sure the women that you've interacted with have gained as much from you as you've gained from them.
Well, thank you. And there's so many ways to network and socialize with one another these days with the internet and everything. At Lawyers Club, we formed a informal balance group that meets about once a month, and we're all mothers and wives, and we talk about how we do it and balancing everything together. But we've also formed, Lawyers Club has formed Facebook, Twitter pages, and LinkedIn. And through LinkedIn, we have listservs where people can post issues. And there was just one posted today about kindergarten. And so it's just, it's a nice way to share resources, like you were saying, and just the camaraderie is really important.
And the nice thing is that when we take the time to do that, it doesn't just benefit our household or our kindergarten or anything. It also benefits us as lawyers, because instead of sitting there in your office with the back of your mind, this little voice saying, well, what are you going to do about kindergarten? Or, you know, whatever the question is, it's kind of niggling at you in the back. You either have a place to go where you can just post the question and trust that you'll have some answers to check when you get home that night or something, and get back to work, you know, so it makes you more efficient in the long run.
Right, right. It is all about efficiency, and that's something I've learned, I think, as a mother more than even as an attorney, because as a mother, your things are constantly changing and evolving, and your kids will ask you the craziest questions, and you got to come up with something, or you got to negotiate with them, and so they've made me a better attorney, and I do try to be more efficient, because like I said, I don't need billable hours, so I need my time at work to be as efficient as possible, so that I don't have to stay late and come in on the weekends.
It's funny when you say that. I think sometimes our children, I have two little girls, 4 and 6, and they do cause us to think on our feet probably as well or better than any judge could ever, you know, by prodding us with questions.
Exactly. The creativity that you got to come up with it's been a great learning. I learned more from them than they learned from me, probably.
I think so. And they're little skills that you don't even think about being transferable. And so you think, not only did I answer that question and do a fairly good job of it and somehow at a kindergartner's level or something, but I also had this sort of pressure of not wanting to eternally harm my child's psyche with my answer. So all in all, it really does force us to step up and think quick.
Right. But the problem is, whatever works today may not work tomorrow.
So that's true, too.
You have to constantly be thinking of new ideas. it's fun, though. It's a fun job.
It is. That's right. It's enjoyable. Everything has its moments of stress and strain, but overall, it is fabulous. And it's why we love doing both. We love being parents and being with our children, and we love our law practice because it fulfills us and gives us that professional outlet as well.
That's very true. And I do the morning drop off and get everyone ready in the morning, and my husband picks them up from school. And my mornings, I go through a lot before I come through these work doors, just getting everyone fed, dressed, and to school on time. And I feel like I've accomplished a lot by 8 o'clock already.
That's right.
And but I'm happy to come to work most mornings. You know, I'm very happy.
Well, and at least, you know, some people are maybe just, you know, they've gotten up and showered and walked in the office and they're still sort of waking up. You have been up probably for several hours, put out several fires, and you're gearing to go.
right, exactly.
So, well, Wendy, sort of on the flip side of that last question, in terms of thinking about your biggest challenge has been, and you mentioned not feeling like you were shortchanging either your work or your family. I'm wondering if there's, on the flip side of that, maybe a large lesson that you've learned, something, maybe an overarching way of thinking or doing things that's made it feel easier and feel maybe a little more graceful, a little more balanced along the way.
I think the biggest lesson is that you can do it all, but not always at the same time. So you have to prioritize things, and kids are always a priority, but you have to figure out what's most important and what can be delegated to a grandparent or a husband. And I think the same goes for work. So if there's something that comes up at work, maybe there's a deposition or a court hearing at the same time that my child has a school performance, well, I have other attorneys in the office who will gladly jump in and cover that, as I would for them if they had something coming up. So it is possible to do everything, but just not at the same time. And having that support system around you, whether it's be at work with the attorneys all around you that can help in those situations, or at home with the extended family that can also help. I don't know that I would be able to survive as a single parent and without family around, or as a solo practitioner without attorneys to help me as well. So it kind of it takes a village, you know.
It does, and like you said, the village is not only family, sort of in that typical way of thinking, or even just neighborhoods, and it's also our work. It's our work village, and having people to pass things off to in an emergency, or a staff of people to help us with certain things, be they, you know, tasks or research or printing things, whatever it may be, to have some folks around us to support us professionally and personally. You can sort of create a, I think you can come as close to cloning yourself as possible by having some folks to help you out in that way, because you can really be able to at least get things done. You can't be two places at once, but you can sort of get two things done at once if you have people around you that you can delegate something to.
And it goes back to being efficient, and it's all about efficiency. Now, it's hard to start delegating to things, especially things around your kids, because you think, well, no one can do it as well as I can, but that's the other lesson, is things don't have to be perfect. So if there are dirty dishes in the sink, that's not the end of the world. You know, just getting everyone where they need to be on time and making sure their backpack has everything in it, and we're off to a good start of our day.
That's right, exactly, and it's, you know, and perfection is sometimes overrated, which is hard to say. As I'm a perfectionist. I know a lot of, I don't know about you, but a lot of us are. I mean, we really like to have things the way we like to have them, and I think both being an attorney and being an attorney with children makes us have to let go of a little bit of that. You know, I think of myself running up the driveway, sort of brushing my child's hair as we run toward the bus. You know, it's as good as it's going to get, you know?
And that's good enough.
That's
exactly.
Right. And that's got to be good enough.
Right. It doesn't have to be perfect, and no one's going to notice that it's not,
that's
really.
Right.
That's why you have to prioritize it.
I was just going to say, I think prioritizing, you know, it was more important that, like you said, that she had lunch or she had a signed permission slip or whatever, and her hair looks decent and she's got on clean clothes. I guess that's the bigger of the battles, and her hair will be messed up by the time she gets to school anyway. We have to pick our battles.
That's true. That's my other thing. Pick your battles. And
that's right.
That's more, that works at work and with kids. You know, you have to learn when it's important and when it's not.
That's right. I think it's so true. Even, like you said, with kids, I always say to my husband, I even pick the times I say no, because I'm not willing to say no if I can't stick to it. So I don't say no too often, because I don't want to have to sit there and really stick to a no that I didn't really mean in the first place. So I think that, and like you said, it's the same sort of thing in our practices too. We can pick those battles, and sometimes things just aren't worth fighting. Sometimes they are, and then we really need to stand up and be an advocate for ourselves or, of course, our clients. But to be mindful of what a yes requires of us and what a no requires of us, and be willing to make that compromise when necessary.
And that's exactly one of the things that being a mother makes you a better attorney, because you do learn to deal with those situations, I think, better and more creatively.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, it does make you more creative and more resourceful. More resourceful than we ever knew we had in us.
Yes, I would like to say I agree with that, exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, when you, both as an attorney, you pull things out of your hat that you never thought you could. You sort of start to think outside the box. Or as a mom, when you forgot snow boots and you take dad's socks and a Ziploc bag and roll of duct tape and put them, wrap them up and send them out into the snow. I've done that.
Exactly.
You know, you do what you got to do.
You do what you have to do, and it's good enough.
That's exactly right. And then you take pictures and torment your children with it in 20 years. Another story. So, Wendy, with that, you know, and you've shared sort of that overarching lesson of you can do it all, but not at the same time, and sort of just breathing that sigh of relief that it's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be good enough, and your kids are okay, and you're doing your best, and that's what matters, and to pick your battles. So many different ways of thinking about managing what is almost not manageable if you were to try to do it all at once, but to do your best in making it happen. With that, I'm wondering if there are some tips or tools or strategies you've used. Maybe they're practical, different systems you've used, or, you know, real tools like planners or schedules or things around the house or the office that have made you more efficient? Or again, maybe they're just some of these other ways of thinking about things that have made it easier for you, made it easier for your people around you in your practice or in your family to create that balance?
That's a good question, and there are many things that I use, but I will say that it changes through the time. And for example, I used to have a calendar at home, just a calendar, and you'd write on it and keep the dates. And then I'd have my calendar at work, and then I'd have a separate calendar for their soccer schedule, and it got too much going on. So this year I decided, you know, I'm putting everything on my work calendar. I don't care if someone, it's a global calendar that anyone can look at if they're looking at my calendar, but I don't care if someone knows that Colin has a doctor's appointment or Connor has a soccer game at 3 o'clock on Saturday, because if I put it on my calendar and it syncs to my phone, I know I'll be there and nothing will get forgotten. So that was very helpful, and that way it actually created less work for me because it's all in one place. And I put reminders for myself on the phone as well, on the calendar, so I don't forget things because there's too much to remember. I'm a list person, so I like to do that as well. But the biggest tip is to create flexibility in your childcare schedules or childcare requirements. And so, but that changes as your child's needs change. For example, when my oldest was very young, he had to be picked up by 4:30 or 5 at the latest. And that made it very difficult if his father couldn't come, if I had to come, and there was something going on, I'd have to drop it and run and go get him. So that worked for a while, but then we found we needed the flexibility where we could go to a center that's open from 7 to 6. Now, our child's not there from 7 to 6, but if we had a little bit of a later evening, we didn't have to stop and run out of a meeting to go and pick them up. And now that they're older and in elementary school, I've found other women, most of which are stay-at-home moms, and they've offered to pick up if we need to, if we can't make it for pickup. They've offered to help with the drop-offs in the morning. So I have one friend who lives by the school, and I could take the kids there at 7:30, and they walk to school together. Mm-hmm. So if I need to make it to an 8 o'clock or 8:30 court appearance, it's not a problem. So it's constantly evolving, but having this support system is extremely important.
It kind of goes back to what we were saying earlier about just having that support and how critical that is. And again, it goes beyond, it can mean so many different things. It can mean family, it can mean work support, and in your case, what you're just saying, can also mean childcare support, be that mm-hmm. a professional that you know, work with for childcare or daycare, or just those friends who are willing to have the kids hang out in the morning for half an hour or something and walk to school together. It makes all the difference.
Exactly. You know, it's nice to meet the other parents in the classes, and some of them are facing the same struggles, maybe not on the same day. So then, you know, one can help pick up one day. And just this week, we're all talking about summer camps and coordinating those and where did you hear about. And next thing you know, three or four of the kids are going to the same summer camp. So it's nice to share information like that.
And like you said, you can find out really great information about, you know, different camps you wouldn't have known about. Of course, the kids love to go to things like that together. So when you do share that information, kind of a best practices, you know, we share best practices in other ways, and sort of best practices or what's going on for our families too. We can share that information and get
right.
some great ideas.
Right, and I think I've personally gotten better at that after my second son was born. First, you're just so focused and you're wrapped up in your day-to-day, and it's hard to imagine that anyone else is even going through anything similar to what you're doing. It's just so new to you. But I've really opened ourselves up to the school community and even the legal community, other women, attorney mothers, and it's been invaluable.
And there are so many, like you said, could be attorney mothers, they could be other professional mothers, and even stay-at-home moms. We have sort of a different experience, but they also have great things. I mean, we have all have different things to share with one another, and that doesn't mean they still don't know where some great resources. I mean, they're just some of the same resources. We all use some of the same resources, regardless of what we're doing during the day.
Exactly. My organization, Lawyers Club of San Diego, is having an interesting panel discussion in October where the topic is taking a leave of absence from the profession to raise children. Mm-hmm. And so there will be women who have taken that leave and come back. And so they'll be sharing their experiences and how they've done that. And some people think it can be done, and some people think it can't be done. And so it'll be great to hear from women who have done it successfully and what their tips are.
Exactly, that there's sort of a debate out there. And
right.
I hear it from a lot of women, too, you know, saying, well, you just definitely don't want to take 100% time off. Keep your foot in somehow, you know, mm-hmm. practice part-time, those sorts of things, versus stepping out for a little while. So that would be a really interesting panel and important questions, and to hear from women who have had those different experiences and what they experienced, what they learned from that they could share with others. There's, I think in this day and age of Google and the internet and webinars and teleconferences and seminars, everything, I mean, all the information that we really want is available to us if we are willing to maybe take a little bit of time and look for it, and oftentimes you don't have to look very hard.
Right. You just have to reach out, and you'll find it. And that's what I did 5 years ago with Lawyers Club, and it's really opened the doors for me and found other ways of reaching out as well.
Wendy, with that, I'm wondering if there's anything else that you'd like to share. You've shared so many sort of overarching philosophy-type tips and advice, and also some really practical tips about networking and different ways of doing things to make your efficiency even greater. Is there anything else you'd like to add or share before we wrap up? If you could just think about what you would want to either, if you wish you would have known maybe 10 years ago as a woman attorney, or that you'd love to share with other women attorneys, what would you like to say?
I think first and foremost, you should, as a mother and an attorney, not judge yourself too harshly. It's easy to look around and you see the stay-at-home mothers, and they seem to be doing it all, and their kids are in all these different activities every day of the week because they can do that and take them there, and whereas it'd be very difficult for us to do it. But kids don't need that many activities, so I think limiting the after-school activities to one or two per season and keeping things reasonable and having the support to help. And it all works out, but sometimes as women, we're our harshest critics.
I think that's so true. We're beating ourselves up harder than anybody else would even think to. And other people probably think we're really doing a great job.
Right.
And we are thinking, I'm the worst mom in the world, or I'm terrible.
Right. Yeah, you can do basketball, but you can't do kung fu because I can't take you those
That's
two different
right.
places at the same time. So just pick one, and it's like, oh, if only I stayed at home, we could do all those things. But life is never perfect, and, you give the kids what they need, and they don't need all of that.
Mm-mm. And I think sometimes, not to justify anything, but sometimes it's good. It works out the best way for everybody, not only because you can't drive them to 14 different things,
mm-hmm.
but maybe that would be too much for them anyway. I mean, again, I think there's something to be said for having time at home or having time to do homework or just having time to play outside, and it's okay. And it's probably not only okay for our kids, it might be good for our kids to not be completely overcommitted at the age of 12. So they've got plenty of time for that.
It's so true. And many times on the weekends, I'll say to the boys, what do you want to do? And they say, we just want to stay home and play.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. And, we try to do that as much as we can. Try to get out too, but try to stay home and let them play and just do their own thing and be independent.
Well, there's something to be said for that. Just, you don't get to be a child for too long and be able to just entertain yourself and go somewhere and play a game or play with toys or whatever that
right.
is for you. And even as adults, I mean, think about what enjoyment we get from that. I mean, I say the same thing to my husband. He said, what do you want to do, you know, for a date or something? I'm like, you know, maybe can we just get the kids to bed and watch a movie? And
exactly.
And I don't want to go
anywhere. And hope to stay awake for the end of the movie.
That's right. That's the second part. Yeah, I fall asleep on the couch in my fuzzy slippers. I mean, I don't need to do anything fancy. I just want to stay home. And
There
is something so comforting about that.
Yeah, I mean, the kids, you know, are gone almost as much of the day as we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so they want to come home and relax and get their pajamas on and just hang out. So it's we have to remember that too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, Wendy, before I let you go, because I really appreciate your time so much, I value it and respect it, and I want to thank you for being here, but before I wrap up the call, I'm wondering if you could share your website or any other information you'd like to share for someone who might want to get in contact with you or learn more about you.
Sure. My law firm's website is CG, as in Casey Gary, law.com, and you can find out my contact information on there. And Lawyers Club is lawyersclubsandiego.com. And we also have Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Great. That's so fun. And with the rise of social media, as you were saying earlier, I think it's just amazing that we can connect with people from across the country with the click of a mouse and learn from what they're doing or model it or connect with them and just make new friends, make new acquaintances, and also glean that information that's just sitting out there.
Every panel discussion on work-life balance, I am there with my notebook and my pen taking notes because I just want to find out any tips I can.
All right. Well, with that, we will end this conversation. And until next time, this is Kendra Brodeen, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com, signing off and wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thank you for being with us today. Bye-bye.